From the Haunted Attraction Network, this is The Haunter's Edge, a show about haunter resources. I'm your host, Philip, and in this episode, we're going to explore the birth, death, and resurrection of HauntCast with founder Chris Baker. This episode was recorded several months ago, so I apologize for any time discrepancies and also for how long it took to bring it to you guys. One final note before you continue. This episode contains strong language and adult themes. It is not recommended for younger audiences, and listener discretion is advised. If you have younger ones listening, we recommend that you pause here and come back and finish later.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.
This is The Haunter's Edge, the podcast discussing haunter resources to keep your creeps keen.
HauntCast, it's not radio, it's haunt edutainment. It's radio for haunters and Halloween fanatics. The show when we first started out was definitely all for home haunters. Over the years, we've added, you know, a lot of like different pro haunt type segments to the show. So we've tried to broaden it out to appeal to more than just home haunters, but like to everybody who haunts. If you want to have a, you know, get a few chuckles, we hope to entertain, not only to provide a little information. You know, we're not trying to come across like we're experts or anything like that, but we have some people who have some great insight and you know, like a prop guys. We have interviews with our haunting gurus, which are always some of the best home haunters out there in the country or pro haunters out in the country. So we try to mix it up and have, different people to interview. So we just get different perspectives, what people are doing.
Let's not forget Theater of the Mind.
We got Revenant who does Theater of the Mind, who does the really kind of in-depth behind, the psyche, I guess is really what it would be, of how to scare, how to haunt, that kind of stuff. And it's funny, for a person who is not an expert, I've never heard anybody like articulate and describe the elements that help like a serious haunter, a pro haunter especially, achieve the results that they're trying to achieve. In such an eloquent manner. Yeah, eloquent, yes! Yep. That's what we'll go with. No, but people absolutely love him. He's been a huge part of the show. One of the most popular segments that we've had. And he continues to do a great job, even though when sometimes his motivation lacks, you know, he'll pull it out and put out a great segment. His motivation is me kicking him in his ass going, give me a fucking segment, because we got a show coming up and I need your segment now. I'm trying to do the mix down and I need to get your segment in because it's at the beginning end of the show. You're slowing me down, man. I'm trying to mix this thing. But he's been a huge, valuable asset to the program from the get-go. Cause actually, it was me and him. We were the ones who started HauntCast. I posted somewhere on Haunt Forum about doing one. He was thinking about it. He's a good voiceover guy. Mm-hmm. He hit me up and we just kind of worked it out. He was trying to kind of talk me out of it. And I was just like, my key to success is always I have more balls than brains. And he was trying to talk me out of it, and I was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking to me about. I don't hear you. I was going to do it, and it's like, you want to join the train? Jump on the HauntCast train? Get on! Let's go! And he was like, fuck it, I'll just do it. He's like, I don't know anything about you, but I like your enthusiasm, so let's do it. And we had the three of us. It was me, him, and JT. And then we added, like, Shelly. Then we added Dick, you know, whatever. Dick Terhune.
Dick Terhune, yeah.
Denny. Ed Gannon and whatnot. So, yeah, we kind of added to it. And now, you know, like I say, Dick will turn in a segment here and there, depending on his schedule and how busy he is.
Marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he blew up once he joined HauntCast. So he got too busy for us. He became too popular. They're like, "What? You are not you're the guy on a podcast? Oh my! I gotta hire your services right now. Make me a commercial. Let's go."
Yeah. So there really is. I mean, it's a great array, and each show is pretty long. I mean, it's between 2 and 3 hours. I think a minimum is 2 hours.
I kind of made it, and I wanted it to be as long as a movie, and it just kind of grew a little bit longer.
Two and a half movies.
It was like Titanic, and then, you know, next thing you know, it's like The Godfather. I don't know. It got a little bit longer. But as we add, like I say, we added segments, it elongated the show. But we also, right at this point, we're doing less shows, so nobody's forcing a person to listen to the entire show in one sitting. If you like a half-hour podcast, listen to the first half hour of the show and then come back and you can listen to the middle of the show and then you can listen to the end of the show. I want to wrap the whole thing up in a production package. Like I want the whole thing to be like one thing instead of doing, an hour, you know, like a 1 hour show every month, which we could probably, or three weeks in a row every month, you know. So 3 of the 4 weeks we could do that and then, it would be about the same length as our normal show, and people would get one once a week, which business-wise would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But me, I'm a knucklehead, and it doesn't matter if it's more profitable or whatever. I'm doing it the way I want to do it because I think that's just the right way to do it. So, I've heard people criticize, and like, yeah, the show's too long. And I'm like, nobody is forcing you to listen to the whole thing at one time. You know, like, don't listen to what you can handle at one shot. And if that's 30 minutes, then stop your iPod or your phone at that point and come back next week and pick up from there and listen to another half hour. It's funny.
You know, yeah.
I just kind of like, I like to tie things in with like usually themes and stuff like that. It's the only reason I do it that way. Once again, I know nobody else does it that way and it's probably for a reason. Once again, I'm kind of joking. I'm being tongue in cheek, but, like I say, Pearson doesn't have to listen to the whole show in one sitting. And I've even had people over the years say, "Hey, could you like put in the show list, you know, the exact, you know, minute and second,
a minute,
a certain segment will start or something like that." And I'm like, no, unfortunately, you have to suffer through the whole thing. You have to suffer through me to get to Revenant segment. That's the way this deal works.
Yeah.
You have to suffer through my nonsense to get to the good shit. Anyway.
How long have you been running now?
2008. It was, November, I think it was November 2008, or maybe it was December 2008, was the first show that we put out. No, it was December. I remember it was being like a Christmas thing. I'm like, this is an odd place for us to start, but what the hell is, we've committed to it, let's do it. So we put the show out, and then after that, like I said, it's been about 6 years, though, yeah.
Man, like 6 continuous years.
Yeah, well, the first three years were, one show a month. You know, we did 12 a month. I think we did a couple of like little, like half episodes or some extra stuff, but we didn't do it often. And then what happened is like when after three, then I closed the show down. The revival, the resurrection happened where the fans, you know, we're like, we'll pay you, come back, we'll give you money, and they worked out a thing, and it worked, and we came back, we did it 2 years like that, once again, once a month, so there was about, like, a 4, 5, 6 month break from when we ended the show, and probably 6 months when we picked it back up again, and then I was like, I couldn't not do it. I mean, shit, I was working freaking part-time at that point. I just was graduating, and was going back to school, received my IT degree, but I was working part-time to put something on my resume. I was working at a Mac store. I was making $10 an hour. And I get this thing, I see this thing on Facebook, and they're like, we'll pay $100, we'll get like 250 people to do it, will you come back? And I'm like, yeah? All right, you know, we're making $10 an hour here for the bag lunch. I will take that proposal. Let's go. And in a month's time, they had raised the money, and I was like, all right, we're back in action again. And we went for 2 years, and we pretty much did the same thing. You know, we were doing fine. Like, we had 300 people per year who were willing to pay the $100 to, you know, they got great discounts, and we gave away a ton of prizes and stuff. So a lot of people made that money back easily anyway. But you know, things did work well. And but I was just, I got slammed with this other business I started, and I was like, just crazy. And I was like, seriously, I can't think about it right now. I'm doing so well, and I'm making money, and things are going. I just got to focus on what I'm doing here. And then I just decided to come back to it after we kind of killed it again. And I said, you know what? The deal I'll have is I'll do it when I can. But I can't do once a month. Mm-hmm. I still like doing the show. I still like having fun. People are still downloading it like a son of a bitch. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, why not? I mean, shit, we had, like, seriously, the last show we had out about 2 days, we did over 1,000 downloads. And I'm like, we haven't even put out a show in almost 6 months, you know? So, you know, to have people who would still give a shit, who will jump on it and download the episode when you put one out, it's kind of worth doing it for people, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I think as long as I can I can continue to be the masshole that I am, and we could keep having fun and having good guests and doing our segments. Like I said, it's not all about just having the guests on. I like all the other things. Like, you know, I love my little banter where I bust balls with Johnny Thunder in the Shock Tales part of the show. And I love Revenant segments. And, you know, there's like other parts of like BSing with Denny and talking prop shit with him. Yep. Because it's kind of cool hearing it from a different perspective. He's not doing haunt props per se, but the stuff that he's learning and he's picking up and the products he's running into are so valuable.
So HauntCast is not going away, but you're going to be doing shows on your own time.
Yeah, I kind of think of it, you know, I guess originally I wanted to do it for fun, and then I was thinking, oh, you know, let's try to make a business out of it. And mm-hmm. it's more because I think RFR was doing that when I got in there, and that's what the way they were doing things. And I was like, well, this is the way I should be doing it. And then I realized after the fact, I'm like, I really don't want to do this as a business anymore. I don't care about advertising. You know, people always get a stick up their ass, you know, you know, especially advertisers, and I'm like, I don't want to have to cater to anybody. I just rather do the show however I want to do it, and not be worrying about, you know, like I'm not even worried about whether the audience or the people are going to like it so much. But I definitely don't want to be worrying about whether the advertisers, or it's going to offend. And we, like I say, it's not to offend. We're just having fun. And, though some people could think that we're taking things seriously and could be offended by some things that come out of my mouth. And, some of the nonsense, but you got to understand, I'm a moron. Don't listen to me. Don't pay attention to what the words that are coming out of my mouth.
How many more do you think you're going to put out this year? Like, ballpark?
Two more, probably. Only because, I mean, my schedule is really ridiculous right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my big plan, my big thing that I'm doing right now, you could call it a midlife crisis, but I'm buying a Harley and I'm getting my motorcycle license. So I want to start riding too. So I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of excited. I want to do some of this shit. I am definitely going to be putting out some shows. No question. But I think 3 to 4 shows is all I can handle. But I think this year it's going to be 3. I think we're just going to do 3. I'm going to do one in somewhere in mid June. We'll do another one at the end of September or the first week in October. And so we'll have a Halloween show. We'll have like a summer show. And, you know, unless any like huge sponsors roll in. No, actually, I don't know. I seriously, I don't even want to deal with sponsors anymore. I'd rather do it this way. And I commend anybody because I did want to do it to make money to like hopefully try to start a business. If you can do that, I commend you and I think you should definitely do it. I eventually got to a point where I was just like, and once again, if I played it straighter down the middle, like most normal people would, I probably would have had an easier time selling advertising.
Oh man, yeah, I feel ya. The struggle is real. Let me tell ya, struggle is real.
You know, you gotta take a balance between, am I gonna piss off if I whatever this goes out in this interview, if it's any type of a backlash against one of my advertisers, you gotta either trim it out or let it ride and take the shit from the sponsors if they do listen to your show and listen to the whole thing, you know? I've had Hotwire Foam Factory call me up the next day after I dropped one of my episodes because Denny was talking about he was working in his basement in an unventilated area, like no fans, no exhaust, and he was cutting foam, the pink foam, with a hot knife, and the fumes eventually got to him and he almost passed out. Oh, and so he said this, but I don't think he specified, I think he was just talking about foam, and they freaking went crazy, they call me up, and they're like, what is that? You have to have that removed. What are you talking about? You're talking about foam being toxic? We sell foam cutting tools. And I'm like, I didn't say that. He said it. And they're like, I'm like, he was talking about pink foam. You're talking about white foam, right? And she's like, yeah, but they don't know the difference. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. So I had to go and take the show down and cut the segment out, put it back together and tell Denny, hey, Denny, in the future, when we're talking about foam don't talk about it being toxic or harmful to someone's health. Because it upsets her sponsor. I even told him that. He was like, that's bullshit. I'm like, Denny, I can't deal with this any longer than I'm doing this conversation. We're done.
Is this a good time to do a commercial break for our Hotwire Foam Factory sponsor?
That's why
I put it in here, right?
Hotwire Foam Factory. No, and like I said, believe me, I have no hard feelings about the whole thing. I just thought it was funny how she flipped out and I pulled it. And I was like, all right, you know, it's okay. I know, no, much love to the Hotwire Foam Factory, by the way. No disrespect. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they really are one of our sponsors, so no, yeah. No disrespect.
No disrespect, my brother. No, I work with them, and we ran spots for them for a while. They called me on that, and I was only pointing out, I was trying to paint a picture of that. You do have to be careful about what you have on your show, even if you don't say it. Somebody else says it because it could affect the sponsors, and that could affect what you have on your show. So that's all I'm saying. And it didn't matter. Like I say, I love Hotwire Foam Factory. I have a bunch. I have the number of their kits. I have their, it used to be called their, I think it was like their pro knife, but I think that they changed the way that they do things, and this is like the industrial knife.
Yeah.
But I have that. That thing is ridiculous. I mean, anytime I got to cut some foam, do anything with foam, that sucker comes out. That is slicing, dicing. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a Ron Pro Peel. It's like a Ronco, you know? Just set it and forget it.
But I mean, you know, your core point here is like you're switching over to just doing this back to in the style that you were originally, which was for fun and on your own terms and doing it and expressing how you want to express things and not being like bogged down by all the red tape that can come into play when you have sponsors.
And I'm not trying to be a prima donna by like, I'm going to express myself in a proper manner. And if you don't, I'm like, I just want to, I, you know, I'm, look, I'm an idiot. And I just want to do the show the way I want to do it. And I'm like, because it amuses me. And that's really what it comes down to, is I want to do a show that I want to listen to that amuses me. And I really don't focus about whether other people, whether I'm making it for other people. I'm kind of more making it for me. And if you want to join along and you dig it, great. And that's probably not a good business model, but this is kind of the way I've always done it.
Yeah, or maybe it's the best business model.
I don't know. So maybe. Oh, we're going to get all philosophical here now.
Well, we have to represent Revenant, you know, since he's not here. So
I know, we need to have that philosophical frame of mind.
Like, isn't ultimately being you more valuable than being what your sponsors want you to be?
Well, I think if you do something that's real, well, that's the way you get into that commercial aspect of it. Like, and I get it. You know, if you want to do something that's commercially viable, you probably want to be safer. Although you probably get a lot more people who are, you'll draw more people to you if you're more real. So
yeah.
Therefore you'll have a bigger audience, but you kind of are on that edge of, they don't know if they want to support you because of whatever. I remember having somebody tell me, now this guy is a total asshole and I don't do business with him anymore, but he was a sponsor at some point on one of my shows, right? And, but he told me, he's like, yeah, I was talking to some other people and they don't want to advertise on your show because they think you're like, you're just drunk all the time and, something else that was completely ridiculous. And I'm like, you do understand that that's all, like, it's shtick when I'm doing it. It's not how I'm, it doesn't mean I'm not that way, but when I'm doing it, I'm not shit-faced. It's a lot of it's just more pretend, like, we're just having fun, we're being tongue-in-cheek, we're joking around, we're just kind of, that's the idea. We want to kind of be on the edge of whatever and have some fun with it. So, I don't know. It's not that people just they take it too seriously, and it's like,
yeah,
dude, you're obviously really not listening to it, because if you really listen to it, you know we're totally being idiots. You know we're totally just having fun.
Yeah, it's meant to be entertainment.
Like you can't take things too seriously. But there are always going to be people who do that. And once again, you can't please everybody, so you don't even bother. So, yeah, I mean, I understand anyway, whatever. You know, it is what it is. Podcasting is like, you just go a direction, and if you catch on, great. I appreciate what you do, though. I mean, you, like I say, it's different from what I do, but it doesn't mean like I listen to a lot of different podcasts out there. I listen to comedy podcasts. I'll listen to occasionally a Disney and not Jonathan from Afar podcast, WW Radio. No, but there's a lot of great shows. I listen to the Bill Burr, Adam Carolla. What was it? You ever listen to Crab Feast with, Ryan Sickler and whatever, Jay Larson, two comedians. They do a great show. So there's a lot of shows that I will listen to, and I listen to a variety of different stuff. But like I say, the beauty of a lot of podcasts is that they're not overly produced. They're not overly slicked up, overly written. They're just a couple of people talking and having a good time. That sometimes is all it takes.
I mean, at this point, there's a podcast for anything you want to listen to in any manner you want it delivered.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like, you know, you like a certain flavor, it's out there somewhere. And if it's not, start it up.
Yeah.
You just find a niche. When I got into this, I was like, oh, this is kind of a niche. I don't think anybody's doing this. No, I barely even knew what a podcast was, but I'm like, hey, let's try it. Once again, more balls than brains.
So in terms of this haunt season that's coming up, are we going to see you at any trade shows? Are you going to be doing your haunt again? What's going on in your haunter world?
Well, I mean, I'm not promoting Hauntcast right now. I'm just, it is what it is. If you dig it, you're around, you're in the periphery, you'll know when one comes out. We will have another one in June. One just dropped, so it's been out for about a week, I think, or a couple weeks, whatever it has been. Mm-hmm. So there's one out there right now. We'll have another one in June, and then we'll have another one just before Halloween at the end of September, early October. And that's about all I can say on that. All right? So don't hound me. That's all you get.
Got it.
Well, that's the other thing in my yard haunt, Village Mire. Have you ever seen the haunt? You can bullshit me if you want to, but that's okay.
No, but I can Google it right now.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, Google it. Go to YouTube, villagemire.com. I don't know. It's not a big deal. I was just, we do our yacht haunt, every year. It's a big part of it's the display. The yard is laid out, lit. Everything is like, I got a great display out in the front. And then I have like a walkthrough that I kind of almost got closed down. Well, I actually kind of did get closed down on. The building inspector called me up and then the fire inspector called me up. And they told me that nobody could walk through my three-room. I have like a three-room, it's not a maze, but, you know, it's like a three-room walkthrough. That, what I do is, because I don't have the room to do anything else. It's in all of my yards, but I have a nice, big, wide, you could put like about four cars in my driveway. So I put a big, like, 10 or 12 by 24, 36 feet, like, three-room walkthrough type thing in my driveway, and they told me that nobody could come through because it was because they'd have to come and inspect it first because my neighbor started being a cunt Bob is a cunt. So I knew because me and him had a blowout in the summer, and I'm like, I guarantee you something's going to happen this October because when we had our argument, he told me that I was bringing down the neighborhood because I would do this yard haunt. And I was like, what? I go, when I moved in there, this place was a piece of shit. The lawn was like 6 feet tall. You were bitching at me about how the old owner was such an asshole. I came in, I painted the house, replaced the trim, put up a fence, did the gravel, did the driveway, you know, put it in a backyard. I did all this work to my house. And I'm an asshole, like, and I go, I'm bringing down the neighborhood, and he goes, yeah, because it looks like a friggin' cemetery out there in October. I'm like, are you kidding me? Fuck you. I know, I go, I appreciate it, for one, because that's exactly what I was going for. But the next thing is, you're an asshole. You know, so anyway, me and him got in a big blowout, I knew it was gonna come back out again in October. He waited until I started building up, I put up the whole little, the maze three-room walkthrough thing, because I have to do it just days before Halloween so it doesn't get knocked over, blown over and shit. Next day I put it up, and a day later, I get a sign on my door when I get back there that the building inspector wants to talk to me. I call him up. And I realized I got about 3 to 4 days to Halloween. What am I going to do? So I was like, all right, you know what? We're just not going to have anybody go through that. All right, that's it. We're done. Because in my head, I'm thinking plan B. We have everybody walk around it.
Yeah.
And we scare them from inside out instead of having them come in and then scare them inside. We'll just have them walk around it. We'll pop out from the walls. I'll tell you. We didn't have as many, like, scare points like there, you know, but we freaking killed it. I had a couple. I had one pneumatic, I had this, skeleton that was on this extender that would come flying out through the wall. And I had me bursting out through one of the walls, cause it was all like burlap covered in army camo netting and shit. So they couldn't really see, and I got bursting through. So I'll tell you, we killed it. One of the best years ever. I don't. Plan B was probably even better than Plan A. We had a great time, and I can tell you, I actually went back to the building inspector at the town hall about a week or two later, and I walked in and I said, because I wanted to file, my neighbor's shed is about 3 feet too close to my fence.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there. I'm like, I know this is the cocksucker who called on me, so I'm going to go see if I can have his fence or his shed ripped down. So I went down there, and I talked to the guy, and he goes, hey, by the way, I just want to let you know I'm the guy, 43 Captain Daniel, the other, like, Halloween, yard haunt thing. And, cause they were trying to shut down the other guy in the town. And that other guy got an injunction on the town. So wow. They couldn't come near him until, like, November 15th or something.
That's awesome.
They had to stay. Yeah. So, but now he got that done this time. The problem is, he probably has no more Halloweens left unless he goes pro. Because, like, I went through his thing. I never even heard of this guy. And I don't know what happened. I got slapped with this thing the same day he did, I guess. But I'm like, I don't even understand how they found me. This other guy's been around for 11 years, and he does a ton of traffic. They have guys directing traffic on the street, like valet parking cars and stuff. And I'm like, I'm nowhere. I mean, I do about 500 people a year. And I don't want to do more than that, but this guy does a lot. It seems like he's open two nights, Halloween and the night before. He's doing tons. He's been around for a while. Anyway, I'm just like, that's insane. But we both got shot down or they didn't technically shut us down, but they both called us and talked to us on the same day. And I found out about it because it came out in the paper the next day, and one of my neighbors told me, said, hey, Chris, you're in the paper. I'm like, what? She goes, well, they didn't say your name, but they said that this other guy got shut down, and then another person on Captain Daniel did too. And I'm like, well, we actually technically didn't get shut down because I told them I wasn't gonna open up the thing, so we could still do it. But he had no other options. I mean, the way his whole setup was, it was off the side of his house, and he had all these, like, small little aisles. Everything was about a foot and a half to 2 feet wide. I mean, there's no way it would pass code. And so he just basically gave him the same information they gave me. He knew he wasn't going to open or be able to open if he didn't get an injunction, so he took like $400 and he got a lawyer to get him an injunction on the town, and he put him on hold. Now, when I went in and I went to see the building inspector to call him on my neighbor, the guy goes, "Hey, oh yeah, you're the other guy." He goes, "You know, it's funny." He goes, "We got a meeting about the guy over on Lakeview in about 5 minutes." Oh, they're pissed. And he goes, "Hey, by the way, for you, keep doing what you're doing. Cool. See you later." So because the other guy was an asshole and got the injunction, now I might get a pass next year. We'll see what happens, you know?
That's the terrible spot to be in when you're having to, like, fight all these forces just to do what you should be able to.
Well, now I'm starting to look at I'm not just going to Transworld this year for fun. I'm actually going there to take a couple of seminars on starting a haunted attraction and just get some information. I'm not planning on doing anything immediately, but I'd like to. I know quite a bit. I mean, I know pneumatics. I know lighting. I know, set design. I know there's a lot of things I know. So now it's like, but do I want to take that next step? How about we go get some information and we'll digest it and see what happens. So this year is more of a business trip than I've ever probably done, because I do want to do some seminars and get some more information, try to start to make a decision of whether I think. I mean, there's nothing. I'm where I am. There's really not much near us or anything to speak of from what I've heard. So, I mean, I have basically, I think I could come in and just take over this whole area if I chose to do so. I just want to find out whether it makes sense to do it, to take that leap.
Yeah. It's a big decision. I mean,
it is.
A huge jump, too. I mean, you got to have, put in the capital, and, I mean, it's a lot of time, too. I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
it absolutely is, and that's why I'm not going to jump into it. I'm going to do my homework and then make an educated decision, which is not usual for me, because that's not usually what I do. I usually go like, just, oh, let's do it. Sounds like, let's do it. Yeah, I just charge ahead like a moron. And
I was like, educated decision. Wait a minute, educated.
Great. I know, that was kind of a big word for me. That was a multiple syllabic word that I threw out there.
We're at the end here.
Hey, it's not so, Philip.
I know.
Hey, it's not so.
Well, you know, I just don't have your stamina for these types of things.
That's completely obvious.
So,
basically, if anybody doesn't know who, you know, what Hauntcast is, who does, you know, listen to your show, hey, look, that's okay. I don't take offense by it. You can go over to Hauntcast.net. Every single show we've ever done is free to download. You can click on our shows tab and pick the year and then go in and download the episode. You can get it through iTunes or Stitcher, I believe. We got about at least, we've done about an episode a year for almost the last 6 years, but somehow we only have 65 episodes. I don't know how to, my math, once again, don't ask me to do math. Do not ask me to do any math. That was not in the job description. Yeah, you can go download some shows and check them out. If you don't like them, hey, you know, whatever. If you do like them, there's plenty more to listen to. You can just freaking binge listen, ear guzzle them, you know? Take them down. But keep in mind, if you do, you will end up in detox. I just want to let you know that.
Maybe there'll be like a support group for detoxing Hauntcast listeners.
Yeah, there is. There's like Tara and like I think Victor the Undertaker Ives are some of the key players in that that support group. Yeah. So other than that, like I say, the Village Mire. Once again, if anybody cares, you go to villagemire.com. That's my it's really like that will get you there, or you could go to villagemire.blogspot.com.
Yes.
If you want to type all those extra letters and dots, you can do that too.
Village Mire, VILLATMIRE.
Or shoot over to YouTube, Village Mire 2015, the Yard Haunt. You can check out the video for this year. We had a blast this year. I actually shot all the pictures and video myself. I'm very proud of myself this year.
Oh man, that's fancy.
I know. I'm patting myself on the back right now. Yeah, I bought one of the by the recommendation of a friend, I bought DSLR. Is it a DSLR? Jesus, I don't even know.
DSLR camera.
DSLR, yeah. And I got a nice lens. So I bought like the Sony A6000 and it is a monster at night. Oh my god. So I took some great pictures out there, shot the video off it, and that was my first year screwing around, so hopefully I can up my skill in my production level next year and add a little some production elements in there, like I do with Hauntcast, you know? That's what I'm talking about.
So, Chris, can you sign us off?
If you don't want, hold on. It's nice to buy a prop, but no way, that's not the one. Leave the ghost light. No, that's not the one. Let's see. Or the dungeon is closed. No, that's not the one. Shit.
I think that was the one.
Oh, is that what we were going for?
Yeah, that was.
The dungeon is closed.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.